L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number 3, our third and final live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We start this third and final hour once again with the breaking news in the last 5 minutes around the National Football League after getting beat as a 7-point road favorite yesterday in Carolina by the Panthers to extend a losing skid to 7 consecutive games. The New Orleans Saints have made a much-needed change. The Saints have fired head coach Dennis Allen midway through his third season at the helm in New Orleans. 2-7 this year, DRS, after acquiring Derek Carr and being the odds-on favorite to win the NFC South last year and falling short of expectation at only 9-8, 7-10 in his first year. He will end his 2.5 seasons in New Orleans with an 18-25. Record. Dennis Allen has been a head coach in the NFL 6 years now. He has been fired in the middle of his third season at each stint. Way back in 2014 with the Raiders after only 4 weeks. Now in 2024 with New Orleans after only 9 weeks and a 2-7 record to show for it.
And how about the first two wins of the season to start off where we were starting to question, oh my goodness, are the Saints the best team in the NFC, a surefire playoff team, and there's no chance the Atlanta Falcons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, or the Carolina Panthers will ever catch this runaway freight train, only for the Philadelphia Eagles to come in and stop their season dead cold with a victory with a lot of injured players here, pulling that out late, and they never recovered from that. The one thing you do know about head coaches getting fired is sometimes they get a little bit longer leash if we don't think the team is talented. That team coming into the season the past few years should have been at least good enough to win the NFC South, at least not compete for a wild card position. The fact that you entered this season with decent expectations, the first two games reset those expectations for we not only will make the playoffs, but make a run, only to find yourselves at 2-7, losing to the worst team in football yesterday in embarrassing fashion on the field. This has to be done. They have to restart, and it's done at a good time. You're done on the season. You're not going to make the playoffs. The deadline is tomorrow. No more trying to save the season for our head coach and see if the players can play for them. You should slowly dismantle this team that is way over the salary cap heading into next season as is.
7 years also as the defensive coordinator under Sean Payton before he became the head coach in 2022. So he's been in the Big Easy for nearly a decade and working with the Saints in big positions. Of course, his tenure has come to a close. Donnie, I don't think the Saints can crawl out of this hole to be a playoff team. None of that is going to change like we saw with the Jets firing Robert Saleh. I don't think Dennis Allen is the last coach that we will see dismissed at one point during the season, not just after it. Mike McCarthy probably looking around like, oh boy. Matt Eberflus probably looking around like, uh-oh, we're making some quick changes and swift decisions here midway through the campaign. All right, now as we set the stage for the final game of week number 9, another NFC South team in action. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they head to the home of the two-time reigning Super Bowl champs and the only undefeated team left in the NFL, the perfect 7-0 Kansas City Chiefs. What's the best bet for Monday night? We asked all of you in Fade the Public.
Yeah.
So, as we look at Sports Grid on Twitter, what is the best bet for Monday Night Football? Chiefs laying 9.5.
Oh,
Bucks as a hefty road underdog. The over 45 and a hook. The under 45 and a hack. DRS, you just said you love it. I know why you love it. You're expecting a KC blowout at home tonight of this shorthanded Tampa team. And yet the public is thinking, hey, Baker and the Bucks have been a great underdog the last year and a half. We can't be expecting Kansas City to cover laying more than a touchdown. And thus, I would expect Donnie Wright's side is fading the public.
Absolutely. Let's just go back to a little short time ago, last Thursday, I believe, to Jets. Ha! Donnie, you idiot. You can't bet the Jets. Did you see the Texans' record as they came in? And I said, you know what? Circumstances provide the results here. That was the Jets were going to get a victory, and they did get a victory, almost in similar fashion of what these numbers are coming out to today, which the public is telling us. The Chiefs at -9.5 on the poll, 19.5%. The Buccaneers +9.5 on the public poll, 39%. Oh, I love this. I understand. The Buccaneers, they're going to fight you. Yes, I get that. I understand. The Kansas City Chiefs sometimes let their guard down late in football games. I'm not buying it here. And this just reinforces that I'm on the right side once again tonight. How do we love a Bucs team that's beatered, battered, bruised, and down for the count right now that's going to rise up against the Chiefs in Arrowhead and somehow try to steal this game or be in a one-possession football game late in the fourth quarter? The only way you lose this game once again is if Baker Mayfield is still engaged as they're down 14-plus points late in this football game. I'm going against that. The Chiefs absolutely roll tonight. Let's go with something 27-13-ish. How about that?
Yeah. DRS, I actually agree with that thought. I think KC wins this game comfortably. This could be the second spot on the slate that we have seen for week 9, much like Baltimore and Denver, where we're thinking, why is this number 9.5? The Broncos have been a solid team this year. The Buccaneers are a great cover team as an underdog. I'm not so sure. Again, Tampa 9-4 ATS as a dog last year. Won their first two games outright this season as an underdog. The Buccaneers have not covered in their last three games as a dog. The Bucs have gone over in 5 straight games. So maybe you're thinking, all right, they'll put up 24 against this Chiefs team and Kansas City will score just to keep pace to win this game even by a touchdown. I'm not so sure. I lean under 45.5 as well. The Chiefs under in 4 of 7 games this year. The Chiefs have allowed 20 points or less in 6 of 7. The Bucs have been giving up a lot of points in this losing skid, or as they have played worse football, 27-plus points in each of their last 4. I think it's that Chiefs defense that makes it difficult for this shorthanded Buccaneers offense tonight. DRS, I agree with you. By the way, the public in even 8-8 this year, because of course the public was on the Texans. So if the public is on the Bucs, maybe we lean Kansas City tonight. DRS, let's look at the quarterbacks, of course, that will match up on this Monday. Baker Mayfield without his 2 top targets, that being Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Patrick Mahomes, still a negative touchdown to interception ratio this year, but did throw multiple touchdown passes a week ago. Donnie, how do you see the quarterback squaring off tonight in Arrowhead?
Yeah, I like Patrick Mahomes tonight. 247.5, I think that's a legitimate number. They'll be able to move the football. The question to me is which type of offensive explosion are we getting for Kansas City? Is it the methodical drive that ends in touchdowns that takes 5 to 6 minutes, which you do like, but what do we like even more? Give me 4 plays, 62 yards, and a touchdown in 2.5 minutes here. So that 247.5 does make some sense. I do lean towards the over, but I love Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 touchdown passes at a -120. He should. I loved Kelce back into the offense. Finally getting in last week. The pressure is off. You'll be able to get him some more. DeAndre Hopkins, knowing that he has an extra week in that playbook, they're going to utilize him. And what do we always love? You get a new player. He's at home here. You know what? What's the best way to get you into this team environment in that home crowd? Throw a touchdown pass to the guy in the red zone. Make sure you target him here tonight. As I said, I do expect Kareem Hunt to score a touchdown, but Mahomes over 1.5 touchdown passes, probably my favorite play tonight overall in this football game.
I like that look a lot, DRS. Kareem Hunt to hit Pater is minus 190. He has been such a staple of this offense for KC. Expensive, but probably justified. The numbers on the other side for the backs, always intriguing. Is it the rookie, Bucky Irving? Could it be the other rookie, Sean Tucker? How much is Rashad White going to factor in to this conversation? The numbers are limited because of the split production, but also because of how stout KC has been. Mahomes last week, multiple touchdown passes for the first time in a month. Baker Mayfield has thrown three passing touchdowns in four consecutive games at least. He's got 13 in the last four, but he's thrown multiple interceptions in the last three games as well. Mahomes and INT in all nine or in all seven games this year, nine in total. But I lean KC in a big way tonight. Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow joins us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The injury report from a Sunday slate in the National Football League, week number 9, and that Sunday slate now in the books. So we give you the injury insight and analysis with the Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, live right here on this Monday on the Early Line. Dr. Chow, glad to have you here. Never easy talking about injuries, but we have to project moving forward. So we're glad to have you here on the Early Line to look back on the Sunday slate.
Always happy to be here. Unfortunately, in the collision sport of football, there's always stuff. It's never just everything is good.
Yeah. Yep, of course. Topics of conversation for sure. As we look at what happened yesterday for the Dallas Cowboys, Doc, the injuries to the insult of dropping a third consecutive game and getting beat by the Falcons on the road in Atlanta. We start with the quarterback, of course. That is Dak Prescott. Exited the game early with a hamstring injury. The Cowboys saying he is set to undergo an MRI early this week. Dr. Chow, from what you in the war room was able to see yesterday at Sports Injury Central, what do you think the prognosis is for Dak Prescott returning to the gridiron?
The hamstring is a big deal for him. The hand, not so much. The cut on the hand and the swelling. Look, the grip's on the palmar side, not the backside. That's not an issue. The hamstring is a big deal for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's rare to injure your hamstring throwing the ball. It's more running. But when you do injure your hamstring throwing the ball, especially when it's your back foot, it is a key part of the throwing motion in terms of driving the ball downfield and accuracy. So it's not just about moving in the pocket or scrambling. It's about downfield accuracy. This is a huge deal for the Cowboys. Look, I think there's a reasonable chance that he misses the game. And if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. The only way he plays at near 100% is, oh, he felt something in the hamstring, but it was like spasm and there's actually no damage on the MRI. In that case, then he would be fine. But right now, this is the biggest worry of the week right now in terms of certainly that big Eagles-Cowboys game. Way bigger worry than CeeDee Lamb.
By the way, glad you brought that up. Perfect segue, Doc, because the Eagles do play the Cowboys this week, and we're talking about a pair of wide receivers. One in CeeDee Lamb left that football game late, checked out with a shoulder injury, but also A.J. Brown mysteriously took a hit before the half, Doc. I'm an Eagles fan. Couldn't he start with A.J. Brown? Give me some good news, please, on A.J.
Look, from the war room, we look at video. It was downfield. There was only one angle. We cannot be conclusive, but we don't have any worry for serious, significant season-ending injury or anything like that. We think it's a mild knee sprain. He may have got his MCL very mildly. Obviously, he did not return. It is a short turnaround to this week's game. Not impossible that he plays. He can run in a straight line. Cutting might be a little limited. The good news is A.J. Brown will be back quickly. Is it definite that he'll be back this week? Remains to be seen, but the fact that the possibility is open is good. And I always like delivering good news. And so this one is relatively good news. Same with CeeDee Lamb. He hurt it early in the game, stayed in the game, right AC joint sprain. That's been confirmed by media now. Look, everyone gets an MRI. He's going to get an MRI. MRIs are like you know, candy at Halloween. Okay, everyone passes it out. But we don't think there's going to be anything structural with his labrum or rotator cuff. He's going to play through, maybe even with an injection now that they know there's no additional structural damage. CeeDee Lamb, yes. A.J. Brown, maybe a chance. Dak Prescott on the dubious side.
Yeah, the Eagles, because of all of that, Doc, a 6.5-point road favorite at the start.
Wow.
For that huge divisional duel on Sunday afternoon. 43.5 is the total for week number 10. Other wide receiver injury news. Let's go to Drake London. Caught a touchdown early yesterday for the Falcons in the win over the Cowboys and then left the game early with a hip injury. The Falcons continue to be the only team in the NFC South with a winning record. Divisional game for them upcoming in New Orleans on Sunday. Doc, what are the chances that Drake London able to suit up and play moving forward in week 10?
Drake London has a hip pointer. He fell on it on the touchdown catch, tried to stay in the game, ultimately left. Hip pointers get more sore over the time, over the course of the game. And it really depends on what he looks like today. If he walks in today limping and on crutches and has got more sore overnight, it's not going to happen this week. It all depends on what he looks like today when he hits the training room. Don't see this as long-term. Is this a week or two? It could be, but it's definitely not long-term for Drake London.
Doc, let me squeeze one in on a concussion issue with Chris Olave in the New Orleans Saints yesterday. Yeah. Looked bad, got carted off the field. The reason I want to bring this up to you is getting concussions so close together, what does that mean for the rest of the season? And quite frankly, maybe Olave's career.
Well, you make a really good point there, and that's what we said from the war room here. This is his second concussion in 2 weeks. And even last week when he didn't get a concussion, he got hit and got a head injury check. The rule of thumb is first concussion out a week, second concussion out a month, third season. Look, this is his second concussion in 2 weeks, his fifth in his career. He's going to miss at least 4 weeks, is our belief, on injured reserve. And at that point, the way the Saints have lost seven straight games, are we better off just shutting him down for the season? So that's what's really on the table for him.
Seven-game skid for New Orleans. They just fired Dennis Allen this morning, midway through his third year. Not a good recipe right now in the Big Easy. Dr. Chow, one more game in week number 9. We go to Monday night in Kansas City, the Chiefs and the Buccaneers. We know about Tampa, of course, and their top targets. No Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin for tonight. Elsewhere, though, what's the health like for both of these teams entering the Monday night matchup?
Well, the health is on the rise. The Kansas City endured their share of stuff. They've got trades. They employ four tight ends and, you know, they got a new running back, you know, all sorts of things. They've been shoring up and loading up. Tampa, not so lucky there. Their two main wide receivers obviously out. But in general, both teams heading a little bit out towards the upside. And obviously you're seeing the big wide receiver issues there for Tampa on the screen. And, you know, Pacheco might even make it back for the Chiefs come December. Not quite yet, but he's got a little more ways to go.
We will talk about that. Kareem Hunt back with Kansas City has been very good in relief. Dr. David Chow, you saw the field views there. You can continue to see that at sixscore.com. That's sicscore.com. Dr. Chow, as always, thank you for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Appreciate it. As always, some college basketball breakdown next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The opening day of the college basketball season is just about to begin. The first game of 356, combining men's and women's college hoops, is about to start in 5 minutes. First game tips at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. The final games, much to Donnie's delight, tip off tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. That is 15 consecutive hours of college basketball on the opening day of the year. Yeah, DRS. Georgia Tech hosting Winthrop in women's college basketball, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. That's a Donnie Right Side special.
Crazy. By the way, the one IU Columbus at IU Indy right now is what I'm seeing. Is the first men's game, I believe, today? Is that what's going on? Wow.
Correct. That used to be IU PUI. A lot of people used to know that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Now, hold on. Wait, real quick before we get to the big games here. IU Indy. Now, it stands for what? Indiana University of Indianapolis, basically?
Indianapolis, yeah. Yeah.
So what was IUPUI in? Spell that out for me, or say it out for me. What was that?
I believe it was Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis.
Oh, come on. Stop it. So IU Indy, genius move. Genius move now. I'm back. You know, what if that might be my team this year? Finally, it makes sense. Now let's get to the games here. Finally. Thank
All
you.
Right, we'll get to the games. 11:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Monumental viewership ratings for a top 10 tilt, the highlight, the crown jewel of this opening day in men's college basketball. It's Gonzaga. It's Baylor. In Spokane, it's a 5.5-point spread in favor of the Bulldogs. Total 157.5. DRS, dive through the KenPom numbers, brother. What do we got?
There are no KenPom numbers, so we can't be diving into anything but, you know, into a shallow pool tonight at 3 feet when we try to get down on this game tonight. By the way, Nurchad Omir, he defected from Miami. How'd that happen? And who does he play for, Ben? Fill me in, please. Doesn't show on this.
What?
Who does Nurchad Omir play for?
Out of eligibility. Oh, he's with Baylor. No, number one.
See that?
Nurchad's with Baylor.
We're learning on the fly right now. I love this stuff. You got new stars left and right tonight.
For sure. Listen, new faces, new places. That will be a big theme of this college basketball season. Baylor's got a very talented freshman from the Bahamas, VJ Edgecombe. He is now playing with the Baylor Bears. He's just a freshman, though. No transfers there. Gonzaga, they're going to be loaded once again this season, DRS. You look at the AP poll entering this year. The Zags did earn a first-place vote. They're number six. Baylor is number eight. No KenPom numbers. Brother, refresh that subscription. We've got a KenPom outlook. He predicts Gonzaga to win. 79-66.
We need the cold, hard facts. That's why we love KenPom. We use KenPom for statistics year, not predictions. I can't use the predictions.
Well, his predictions are often pretty close based on his power ratings to what the odds makers set these numbers at. Thus, if you use the value, 5.5-point number would actually say Baylor's covering tonight in Spokane in this top 10 tilt. A lot to dive through, so let's move next up to a game starting at 10 p.m. Eastern. Donnie loves it. Viva Las Vegas, Ohio State in 19th ranked Texas, two premier brands in this sport, of course, in this spot. It is Jake Diebler, still the head coach for Ohio State, the interim head coach who was promoted to the permanent head coach last year in Columbus. The Longhorns, though, and Rodney Terry, 2.5-point favorite against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I'm not recognizing too many people in this. I got Tremont Mark, Bruce Thornton, Micah Parrish, Arthur Kaluma, Michi Johnson. I'm going to have to get involved with these teams here tonight. But we do have a 50% odds boost, Ben, on the FanDuel Sportsbook tonight for that game one, or should I say late game banger tonight at 11:30. I need the people to help me out. At Right Side VP, you got any bets for this that I can get down on to use my boost? I mean, shout out your boy.
Michi Johnson started his career in Columbus. His father is like best friends with LeBron, something of the sort, calls LeBron his uncle. He transferred to South Carolina back at Ohio State. I believe you mentioned Arthur Kaluma, the Creighton transfer, steps up into this matchup as well. DRS leading into that game. The reigning national champs in South Carolina in women's basketball tip in Las Vegas against Michigan, the Gamecocks, and Dawn Staley, who I predict to win it all this year, 20.5-point favorite. Two top 20 tilts over in Paris. In women's college basketball. Juju Watkins and USC will take on Ole Miss. That game early, noon Eastern time. Juju is going to be incredible this season. And quickly, let's just show the numbers. Paul George makes his Sixers debut tonight in Phoenix. 7.5-point dog. They got any juice, Donnie? Yes or no?
You know what? I would actually like if the Sixers missed the playoffs this year. I think that would be great for the city of Philadelphia.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It would not be the start of a new week live right here on the Early Line without the Monday Prop Perspective from Sports Grid's Tom Vecchio. Vecchio joins us here to look at Monday Night Football, his best bets for the end of week number 9, and a couple of NBA thoughts as well. Robust slate in the association after only 3 games on a Sunday. Tom Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I think we are in for a really solid Monday night game tonight. I think we're in for a decent amount of scoring. If I had to make a like super, super exact prediction, I would say the Chiefs win. They don't cover, which has kind of been a trend for a lot of these larger teams. And we land right on the total. So if I had to make a specific prediction, it would be 27-20 final score. Chiefs win. That means they don't cover. And we land right at that total with maybe a late touchdown or a field goal.
Vecchio firing away to start. You see the numbers there, Tom. 9.5-point spread, total at 45 and a hook. So as you gave us your prediction, the Chiefs don't cover, but they win comfortably. How do we get that game flow? What does it look like in terms of the result that leads to the outcome?
Well, from the Chiefs side of things, I think one of their clear goals tonight should be to get DeAndre Hopkins more involved. I'm not going to say a slow week for him last time out, you know, 2 catches for 29 yards. It was his first game with the team. He was with the team for, you know, 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, 2 days of practice, whatever it might be. So I expect him to be a little bit more involved tonight. I do like him for a TD tonight. And, you know, oftentimes I come here and say like, oh, this is the Javonte Williams game, and I expect him to cruise past his numbers. Tonight is the DeAndre Hopkins game. And his line is sitting at 42.5. Frankly, I like him going for 50-plus, 60-plus, maybe even 70-plus yards. And ultimately, you know, 70-plus yards like isn't a big ask, especially going up against this Bucs defense. They're around 255 passing yards per game. That's the third most in the league. So if I'm expecting the Chiefs to get out and score, like asking for 60 or 70 yards like isn't a massive, massive ask when we have Pat Mahomes. And granted, he hasn't been like the best version of himself. But again, my point being, they brought in DeAndre Hopkins for a reason. Get him in the ball, get him a touchdown, and let's get him involved in the offense. Let's get things moving.
It's up to the quarterbacks to get those wide receivers involved in the offense. Let's take a look at 2 gunslingers tonight. Patrick Mahomes taking on Baker Mayfield. If we're looking at the passing prop totals, 247.5 for Patrick Mahomes. Baker Mayfield, 236.5. The touchdown props, Patrick Mahomes over 1.5, juiced at minus 120. Baker Mayfield the same, 1.5, but at a plus 146. Expectations for Mahomes and Mayfield tonight, Tom.
I think Mayfield, honestly, I think he cruises past this number. I like him over the yards. I like him over the attempts. And it's going to be a game script thing. Not to mention the fact that the Chiefs, they allow 82 rushing yards per game. That's the third lowest in the league, right? And I know that they're going to be without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. But at a certain point, they're going to be passing the ball because they're going to be playing from behind. And this is just going to be garbage time yards, right? It doesn't matter who he's throwing to. It doesn't matter, you know, how he's getting there. So over 34.5 attempts, I like him over the yards. If he hits over like 260 or 275 yards in a losing effort, are we going to be surprised given what we've seen from Baker when he's gone over this passing number in 4 of the last 5 games? Some of these games up at 45 passing attempts. So it's kind of just an attrition thing at a certain point where like he's going to get the yards even if it's late in the fourth quarter.
Mayfield leads the NFL in passing touchdowns, 21. He has thrown at least 3 in the last 4 games for the Buccaneers, 13 total in that span, but to the tune of 7 interceptions in the last 3 games as well. Multiple INTs in all 3 of the last games entering for the Buccaneers. Mahomes has thrown an INT in all 7 games for KC this year. Still a negative touchdown to INT ratio, 8 TDs to 9 INTs. But for the first time, Patrick Mahomes, multiple touchdown tosses last week in nearly a month. So with Mahomes struggling at times, they have counted on the old friend, Kareem Hunt, who has come into the injured backfield and has looked really good. Vecchio, a hefty price if you think Hunt finds pay dirt once again tonight at minus 190. What's your approach to KC's offensive plan and how it pertains to the backfield?
Well, they get out and score. Hopefully it's via DeAndre Hopkins, as I said, but ultimately I think they'll be controlling the game, and that's going to be with Kareem Hunt. So I'm not going to a minus 190 touchdown price. I don't think I've ever done that. That's not a spot that I'll be looking to go to. Over 16.5 attempts, that's the spot to go. He's been over this mark in 3 straight games. The only time he was under this mark was that first game he was with the team going up against the Chargers, and not too much of a surprise to see him under that mark, you know, in his first game when they signed him, you know, off his couch at home. So he's been seeing 20-plus carries, and that's what we're going to be in for tonight. Again, if I'm expecting the Chiefs to be out ahead, I think Hunt has a huge game. He could easily go over his yards, but I specifically like the attempts tonight.
Tom, easy to focus here on obviously the Chiefs because you're looking at Travis Kelce, DeAndre Hopkins, Xavier Worthy, yeah. But you're expecting Baker Mayfield possibly to have a big night tonight. You're going to get some cheap prices on some of those other guys here for the Bucs. Not a lot listed. Cade Otton, Jalen McMillan, and then a couple running backs, Rashad White and Bucky Irving. Who are we going to look to tonight from a Bucs perspective at wide receiver?
I think Cade Otton is probably the safest. We saw him have a huge game, you know, over the past few, especially stepping up with Godwin and Evans out. I think Bucky Irving would be too. When it comes to wide receivers, I think McMillan is fine. You know, I don't know if Sterling Shepard's going to play tonight or not. Like, we know he has a connection with Baker dating back to college, but like, it's kind of just like a pick your poison. Like, if you are super high on one of them, if you think McMillan's going to have a good game, and again, Baker's going to have 260 yards just because they're going to be passing the ball, you got to be like all in on that spot. But I specifically, like, I think Otten's fine. I think Buck Irving's the best running back that they have. And I don't expect Sean Tucker to play a big role if they're not going to be running the ball a whole lot. Irving would be the passing game option.
52.5, that receiving yards prop for Cade Otton. It's been steady this year for Baker Mayfield, even when Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were out there last week in the first game without those top two targets. 10 targets for Otton, 9 grabs, 81 yards, 2 of the 3 touchdowns that Baker Mayfield threw to Otton. All right, Vecchia, let's put up the top props once again. Make sure everybody has those down for this Monday Night Football game before we get over to the NBA. There it is. Lock it in. Get those picks in. Fantastic. All 30 NBA teams, Vecchio, in action around the association on this Monday night, including Paul George making his debut for Philadelphia. The Sixers on the road in the Valley tonight, taking on the Suns. 7.5-point spread in favor of Phoenix. What does Paul George do for the Sixers team in making his debut tonight?
Ultimately, it comes down to how many minutes will he be playing, and I haven't seen a report on if there's a specific amount that he will be playing. It is a West Coast game, so we may get that note later in the day. Ultimately, the best spot to go, I still think, is going to be Tyrese Maxey over 26.5 points. They want to get Paul George involved. I think that's obviously a given, but again, how many minutes will he be playing will determine, you know, how the volume of shots that he's going to get. So, you know, I tweeted about Maxey going for the season averaging over 28.5 points because he was sitting around 26 last year. And if Paul George and Joel Embiid aren't going to be playing a full set of games, I still think this offense is going to be driven by Maxey. So once we see Embiid come back, I think we're going to see Maxey's number drop. And ultimately, that's the best spot to be going. So I don't care if Paul George is in. I don't care if he's playing 15 minutes. I don't care if he's playing 25 minutes. Maxey is still the answer for the 76ers this season.
How about the answer coming up for Giannis here to try to rescue the Milwaukee Bucks, sitting at a worst in the Eastern Conference, 1-5? Who are they taking on tonight? Cleveland, a perfect 7-0 and a 7.5-point line for the home team, the Cavaliers, in a total of 229. Did the Cavaliers stay perfect tonight, Tom?
Stay perfect? I don't know. It's basketball. There's variance on a you know, week-to-week basis. Ultimately, I think the best spot to go is Jared Allen. Like, the Bucks just aren't rebounding the ball to start the year. So Jared Allen over 11.5 rebounds is sitting at plus 104. The Bucks are 25th in rebounds per game, which is not something you'd expect, or not something we've seen from them, this team that with Antetokounmpo, with Brook Lopez, with Bobby Portis, like, these players should be rebounding the ball, and they're just failing to do so. So I don't know if they just haven't flipped the switch yet because it's early in the season, but give me Jared Allen, who has gone over this number in 5 of the 7 games. He's picking up 17 and 15 boards, as he's been known to do throughout his career. So I like the Bucks. I think they cover. I'm not sure if they win tonight, but I particularly like Allen tonight going over with the boards.
The Bucks beat the shorthanded Sixers in the season debut, have lost 5 straight since, have not covered in any of those games, including at home over the weekend against Cleveland as a 2-point favorite, losing that game outright by a point. The Cavaliers remain perfect, the only in the Eastern Conference. They have covered in all 7 wins as well. Tom Vecchio, time is appreciated always, my man. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The ending of week number 9, Monday Night Football tonight in Arrowhead, the home of the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, the home of the only undefeated team left in the NFL. KC enters 7-0, heavily favored to make it a perfect 8-4-8. 9.5-point spread DRS in favor of the Chiefs. 45.5 is the total. Let's start with the spread and thus the money line. Are the Chiefs in any danger of dropping their first game of the year outright tonight against Baker and the Bucks?
Yeah, no shot. They're winning this football game. Again, if they're the somewhat healthy, it's crazy too. Like, the Kansas City Chiefs are healthier at the wide receiver position than Tampa Bay. It's kind of wild to say, but it just goes to show how much Tampa Bay has been through. For my money tonight, I don't think there's any way that they're going to lose this game. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I would agree, DRS. I believe Kansas City will be 8-0 at the end of the night. But that's not what we do here. We don't just say this team that's minus 460 on the money line is going to win, so pick them outright. Will KC cover as a 9.5-point favorite? That is the question. The Buccaneers have not covered in 3 consecutive games as a dog. 7 wins in 7 games this year for Kansas City. They have covered the number in 5 of 7. But Donnie, a 6.5-point favorite 3 times this year for KC, just 1-2 against the spread. Hefty number in favor of the Chiefs tonight. Can they win this game by double digits?
I believe they can, but also just going over through some of the weather stuff here, just saw that little cloud pop up on my screen here. Rain is in the forecast, precipitation over 50%. So we're going to see that tonight. Windy conditions, not necessarily, because yesterday we talked about it so much on the desk, Ben, with that game between the Green Bay Packers and Detroit. It was like, boy, do we really know how bad this is going to be? Gusts up to 30 miles an hour. It rained all the way through and it was terrible. So could this be more of a ground attack? And also, who would that really favor? Like, Mahomes, I think, can operate in any weather, just the way he plays. Their passing game should be fine, and Kareem Hunt should be an absolute jackhammer in this game, where you don't really look towards the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as leaning on the ground game. But that could affect some things where we talk about this game staying probably under the total. That might be another little hindrance here for that game getting over. So I just wanted to start there. But for my money on this, the Kansas City Chiefs, the total probably staying more to the under. But I do think that's a win in the cover still for the Kansas City Chiefs.
DRS, speaking of that weather, the rain and the wind yesterday at Lambeau, number was 47.5. I had seen the bad weather projected, just forgot to bet the total. New York City Marathon here yesterday, out and about, having a great time on the cab ride home, tuned into Red Zone, saw how bad it was coming down in Lambeau. Even after the Packers scored that initial field goal, I still bet the number, losing a couple of points at 45.5 live to the under, stayed well under. And frankly, here we are again. The Chiefs offense has been okay. It hasn't been overly prolific because of the injuries, and frankly because Patrick Mahomes has not been his stellar self. 8 touchdowns but to 9 interceptions. He has thrown an INT in all 7 games for KC this year, under in 4 of 7. But Donnie, here we are again. The Chiefs defense has been elite this season. Third best scoring defense in the NFL, holding the opposition to 20 points or less in 6 of 7. The only team to break through 20, the Bengals, who scored 25 in week number 2. Now, the Bucs have been airing it out, and we expect the same out of Baker Mayfield, even without Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Can they score enough to push us to an over tonight of 45.5? That seems to be my question. I lean under.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on this, because like, Baker Mayfield with 2 top wide receivers can go toe-to-toe with any defense here. He's a gunslinger. It's what he does. Interceptions and touchdowns, usually great for the over. But look at the starting wide receivers. Jalen McMillan, who is a good college wide receiver coming into the pros, trying to make a name for himself, but he was supposed to make the 3 or 4 option here on this team. Now he's thrust into number 1. Trey Palmer, Sterling Shepard, who might not go tonight with an injury. Rakeem Jarrett, Ryan Miller, and then it leaves you with Cade Otton. I just don't see the explosive plays on offense. And also, Ben, we talk about Kansas City. Like, again, it wasn't too a few short years ago. It's like, hey, you know what, Spags? Just give me a stop in the fourth quarter so we can win a football game. This is a legitimately good defense on Kansas City, where if you're adding in some rain and not a lot of weapons here, why is Tampa Bay going to get close to 16 to 20 points? That's the question.
Over in 5 straight for the Bucs, the third best scoring offense in the NFL, averaging nearly 29.5 points per game. In fact, this Tampa team has scored 26 points or more in 5 consecutive games. They've also allowed 27 points or more in 4 straight games. It's why they have been such an over team. I think now 2nd week without those 2 top targets, does it regress slightly in a negative way? That is why I lean under. Donnie, if you had to pick your favorite favorite prop bet of the night. What gets your attention?
Even with the rain, it's Patrick Mahomes over 1.5 touchdown passes. He's got a lot of weapons here, as we talked to Tom here. This has got to be one of those DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to be a couple red zone targets. That's what you got him for. Travis Kelce, great red zone target. And also, don't keep out there a little Xavier Worthy trickeration here, or maybe a pop pass in the red zone specifically if it's slick pop surface. Pass. That's something to watch out for. That's touchdown passes, baby.
Can we get a pop pass to a backup tight end tonight to bring somebody through the door? Might be what Joe Lisi is yelling out if he bet on Noah Gray somehow, some way. You heard that Tom Vecchio was really in on DeAndre Hopkins. DRS, bad on me, I guess. DeAndre Hopkins last year, Nuke, at the age of 32, he turned 32 in the summer, still was over a 1,000-yard receiver for the Titans last year. Did you know that? I kind of forgot about that. The production has still been there, although he wasn't DeAndre Hopkins of his Texans season. Again, I kind of like what Vecchio was saying here. 44.5 could be light if the passing offense with Mahomes is pretty solid against the Buccaneers secondary that has not been great all year.
And by the way, here's what your boy doesn't need tonight, Ben. As I talked about that rain in the forecast, it's humid enough where we might see a lightning delay. Come on, your boy can't get home at 2:30 tonight. Maybe if you're winning betting tickets here at this point, that would help out. But I see stuff like that in the month of November. It's very disheartening, Ben. It's very disheartening.
I mean, DRS is going to be staying up anyway to watch Baylor and Gonzaga. You would think he wouldn't mind just sitting in the studio.
Switch over live to that game. Yeah.
For sure. No. NFL football in-game live game day becomes Gonzaga Baylor college basketball in-game live game day. Sounds pretty good. VJ Edgecombe going off over his points prop. Graham EK, Ryan Nemhard. Andrew is his older brother who also played at Gonzaga. By the way, Kareem Hunt, -190 to hit Pater. DRS, he scored 4 touchdowns in the last 3 games for KC.
By the way, Casey and Tom might be the preemptive here late night here before we hand it over to the early line tomorrow. This game might finish so late. You never know.
Well, no, you got to get some crossover. Energy. Yeah, you got to get some energy crossover. Joker in there. Come on. McLaughlin,
Bitcoin, baby. Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's the opening day of the 2024-25 college basketball season. 356 Division I men's and women's college basketball games. It's already underway. Georgia Tech in women's hoops taking on Winthrop for our first game that tips at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Men's side starts in just about 5 minutes. IU Indianapolis, welcome to a new era against IU Columbus. Plenty of games for you all day long. We talked about the top 10 tilt. It's Baylor. It's Gonzaga. Tonight out in Spokane, the Zags a 5.5-point favorite. Ohio State and Texas doing battle in Las Vegas. Two top 20 tilts on the women's side over in Paris, the We Play Classic, including one of the most exciting players in college basketball. Her name is Juju Watkins. We have so much to discuss here, but we do want to take the big picture because a lot is happening on this Monday. It might feel slightly overwhelming. Of our 356 D1 men's and women's basketball games, 199, nearly two bills on the men's side. A lot of those Division I college basketball games feature at least one D1 program. Just saw these numbers from our good friend Kevin Sweeney. 82 games feature a team that is non-Division I as the opponent. Summer D3, a lot of D2, and even some non-NCAA colleges and universities. You're going to see some large spreads. There should be some good matchups up and down the board. We'll have a ton to break down throughout this week. But again, big picture. Here's a couple of the names that I want you to know throughout this year that I have already laid some wager on to begin this season. National championship, right? We showed you Duke as those preseason favorites. UConn looking for 3 straight. Alabama is up there as well. The Crimson Tide, the highest AP preseason poll ranking in program history. The previous high was seventh best back in the early 90s. But I want you to keep an eye on the number five team in the country entering this season, and one of the great college basketball coaches, in my estimation, TJ Otzelberger, and what he is doing in Ames with Iowa State. A lot of returning talent for this Cyclones team playing in the highly competitive Big 12 that got even better this offseason with the additions, of course, of conference realignment, adding teams like Arizona and Colorado to the fold. Kansas is the number one team in the country. They play in the Big 12. Houston, the number one team in KenPom, they also play in the Big 12. Iowa State, come the time of March in the NCAA tournament, is veteran-led and will have that Big 12 battle and experience. Taman Lipsky is back as their leader at the point guard spot. Keyshawn Gilbert alongside in the backcourt. This is a great team. Milan Momchilovic also there as well. A really solidly coached team that I think is ready to make some noise in the NCAA tournament. 17-1 price on the Cyclones. I think it's some good value starting off this season. Men's Wooden Award market. As we shared, in the state of New Jersey on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Cooper Flagg, the outstanding Duke freshman who is going to be the number one overall pick in the 2025 NBA draft, does have a price to win the Wooden Award, and he is the short favorite at 5-1. In various other states like Indiana, for instance, he is not listed. Will he be when he turns 18 a little bit before Christmas? Perhaps. He is the favorite, and rightfully so. I actually think he wins the award when all is said and done. But without having that knowledge of Cooper Flagg entry the day, keep an eye on Mark Sears, the outstanding guard for Nate Oates, in what is going to be one of the, if not the best offenses in the country in Alabama. Again, the Crimson Tide ranked second in the country. Incredibly high expectations in Tuscaloosa. And Mark Sears will be the driver of that offensive engine, hoisting a ton of threes this year for the Crimson Tide. Let's get to women's basketball. Unlike some of the madness that we know in the tournament of the NCAA tournament in the men's side, you can bet shorter favorites on the women's side. And I think South Carolina is just going to be back. Don Staley, three-time national championship winning coach, twice in the last 3 years. South Carolina does lose, of course, Camila Cardoso from last year. Everybody else is basically back. Tahina Pau-Pau, Raven Johnson. This team is absolutely going to be stacked. Malaysia Fulwiley as well. Give me South Carolina plus 155. Pretty short distinction between Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins to win the Women's Wooden Award. I'll go with Juju. 920 points last year, a freshman women's basketball record. She averaged 27 points per game, and maybe lay it with SC. 10.5 against Ole Miss to start this season. The early line return tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern.
LPTVNBC. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.